From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, your home for news, information, and today, the death of an award show. I'm Allison Stewart, and with me today, we are very lucky, our guest host today is none other than BPP regular Daniel Holloway. You listen to him on Fridays, one of our movie critics. You're also a former editor at a fancy paper. Did I make that up?
Yeah, Metro's fancy. We have color all the way through.
There you go. So, Daniel, it's great that you're here today for many reasons. Tuesday, January 8th. I should stick that in there. Because the Golden Globe Awards were canceled.
They've been given the axe. The Writers Guild was going to pick it, and the NBC and the Foreign Press Association came to an agreement and said, we don't want to have people standing in fabulous ball gowns with a bunch of, you know, angry bearded writers waving picket signs behind them.
So as a movie critic, how do you feel about this? This is your bread and butter. You deal in this industry. What do you think about the Golden Globes no longer on the TV?
Well, you know, it's like the Golden Globes are like the Super Bowl for me, except without commercials and chicken wings. And so it's, you know, I'm definitely going to miss watching Jack Nicholson half drunk hug Nicolas Cage and say something inappropriate. You know, it's a fun night, and it's a shame that we won't be able to have it.
We won't be able to see it. They're going to hand them out anyway.
Yes.
I think they're going to do it through the news division, so that should be kind of interesting. Having worked for the NBC News division, we'll see what happens there. Hey, coming up on our show today, can't we all just get along? That's what New York Mayor and would-be independent presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg was asking at a high-profile summit on bipartisanship. We'll talk about him, his run, that critical 08 independent vote. We're going to talk about it with LA Times columnist Ron Brownstein. He is a great interview. He's also written a really interesting book called The Second Civil War, How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America. See, that's some writing there, Daniel.
That is good writing. Things have calmed down a little bit in Kenya today with the announcement that the president and the chief opposition leader have agreed to meet. Will that be enough to quell the violence there that's already claimed at least 400 lives, driven 250,000 people from their homes? We'll get the latest from NPR's own Gwen Tompkins, who's checking in from Nairobi this morning.
All right. And I don't know if you heard about this woman. We're going to interview this woman together. Her name is Carol O'Hare. She has run 25 ultra marathons. Okay. She ran a marathon in Antarctica. She was the third place female finisher. Did you know that they did that?
I wouldn't run a marathon here in New York.
I'm telling you. And we have coffee and things along the way. O'Hare has some advice for our own Jill Homer. You know, you've been following her on our blog. She's training to race in the human-powered Iditarod this February. Those are two ladies who are tough. We'll also go to another tough lady, Rachel Martin, for today's headlines in just a minute. But first, here is the BPP's big story. The nation's first presidential primary is underway, and believe it or not, there are already some early returns. That's because voters in two small villages, Dixville Notch and Hart's Location, cast their ballots at midnight. And by 12:06 a.m., the votes had been counted, all 46 of them.
On the Republican side, John McCain got a whopping 10 votes. Mike Huckabee came in with 5. Ron Paul had 4, Mitt Romney 3, and America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani got 1 vote.
Just one guy for Rudy? Oh. And on the Democratic side, Barack Obama received 16 votes. Hillary Clinton and John Edwards both got 3. Bill Richardson, he got 1. Now, it's not the best news for the once presumptive Democratic frontrunner, who, like many of these candidates, has spent months campaigning in New Hampshire. The toll of it may have surfaced yesterday when Hillary Clinton was asked about how she's dealing with the intensity of the campaign, and, well, she got a little verklempt.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And I couldn't do it if I just didn't, you know, passionately believe it was the right thing to do. You know, I have so many opportunities from this country. I just don't want to see us fall backwards. You know? So, you know, this is very personal for me. It's not just political. It's not just public. I see what's happening. And we have to reverse it. And some people think...
Of course, in the age of political consultants and TV pundits, Senator Clinton's tears touched off an intense debate. Was she playing the quote-unquote gender card? Was the whole thing staged? Or was this real emotion from a person who's really personally invested in this race?
Well, they've already begun weighing in the newspapers. Excuse me. Feminist Gloria Steinem references Clinton's tears in an op-ed piece in today's New York Times, in which she contrasts the obstacles faced by Clinton and Barack Obama. Gloria Steinem points out that black men got the right to vote in the U.S. half a century before women and writes, quote, "What worries me is that he is seen as unifying his race while she is seen as divisive by her sex. She's accused of playing the gender card when citing the old boys club, while he is seen as unifying by citing civil rights confrontations," end quote.
Steinem does say that if Obama gets the nomination, he'll have her support. And if polls are any indication, Obama could take another important step in that direction today. All 11 polls indexed on realclearpolitics.com have Obama in the lead in New Hampshire. In fact, Ireland's largest odds maker, Paddy Power, has begun paying out on bets for Obama to win the nomination.
Of course, if you remember your fourth grade civics class, Ireland's gambling industry is not one of the three branches of government. So folks are still going to the polls today in New Hampshire. Most polling places opened bright and early at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's the BPP Big Story. Now here's Rachel Martin with even more news.